you, as we were reading the psalm, whether you recognised and noticed the three refrains that were in it. And my guess is you were probably almost too busy trying to get your tongue around some of the words. But in my version of the Bible, it's in verse 3, 7 and 19. And they say, "Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved." And sometimes, I think that in every single sign, despite some of the gloom that's in there, there's always that hope and there's that trust. And I believe that's true, both of that passage from Isaiah and what we're reading in Luke. So Isaiah was very much reflecting the fact that Israel was God's vineyard. And God can nurture us, give us all that we need to grow. His love, we see his power at work, and yet, like Israel, people of Israel, we can reject it and push it to one side. But God's love is always there. And so we turn to this passage in Luke chapter 12, and beginning at verse 49. And a few weeks ago, Gilly was saying that we need to understand the background, and then we need to be able to say, what is it saying to us today? And so if I have three key words for this morning, which I think probably reflect quite a lot of Bible passages that perhaps we read either in church or at home, is what? And you can put any exclamation marks you want there, or question marks. The need to ponder, and then the need to act. And it's about reflecting and taking on board what Jesus is saying. And we always need to remember that, like the prophets, he was speaking to a particular group of people in a particular age. Although so much of what he says has applications for us today, as does most of the Old Testament. But in verse 49 and 50, he was talking about bringing fire to the earth and having to baptism, which he had baptized with, and that he would be under stress until that baptism was completed. And we know, because of where we are in history, that for Jesus, that stress, that baptism, was going through his death, his separation from God, and his resurrection. And then there's that bit which seems to contradict so much of what he says earlier. He says, "Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, rather division." And what did the angel say at Jesus' birth? Peace on earth. So what's it all about? Why will families be divided? And that is quite a thought, isn't it? Why? Excuse me, but it's sort of slightly warm up here. And it's something to do, isn't it, with that time. Jesus had walked the earth for almost 3 years. What walked the earth? It actually been his ministry to people. Had been almost 3 years. People had heard him, had seen the miracles, had seen healings. People brought back to life. They had seen and heard the words that Jesus was saying. And most people thought they were great and recognised that Jesus was somebody special. But many felt threatened because he seemed to be upsetting their apple cart. You know what it's like, don't you? Whatever situation we find ourselves in, whether it's work, joining a sports club, or whatever we do, or even things like Christian meetings, you can guarantee that at some point I often do think, do you know what, they've really mucked that up. Why don't they do that? I don't know if you've had that sort of feeling, have you? You don't have to own up to it. I'll just trust that you have. And so there are many who are not actually hearing and taking on board what Jesus was actually saying to them. And he was recognising that if the Jewish people did not find a way of living in peace and justice and fairness with the Roman occupations, if they continued trying to fight against them and using them for their own means, then they wouldn't last long. And we know that's what's happened when the Romans invaded and razed Jerusalem to the ground in AD 33, if my memory serves me right. And I know if I've got it wrong, but there's at least one person who'll tell me afterwards. And also, you know, there's that. And when Luke was writing this, I'm sure that he also had in mind the early Jewish Christians, those who believed and had a faith and recognised Jesus as Lord. And it would have brought stress to their families, particularly if they came from families where some were strong Jewish believers and would not step outside and couldn't see that Jesus was God's son. So there'd be separation and strife. And I think some of us can probably also recognise it in our own lives. And I know years ago, I made a decision, which was to give up teaching, go to a theological college for a couple of years. And my father couldn't hack it. So it was several years where it was one topic we didn't talk about, because he couldn't understand me giving up a good career to mess around with the church and study. But for a number of years, it was a topic we never talked about. And I've seen it in other arenas. I mean, that was quite mild, but for some people, particularly people coming to faith in Jesus from another religion, sometimes they are chucked out by their families. They don't want to know. And it is a struggle. It's a struggle of how do you live out your faith in a way that you can live in peace with others and move together. And it's not always possible. And there's so many arenas in life where that's true. Years ago, I used to work with quite a lot of young Asians, and they were the first generation born in this country. And the tensions that they had between the traditional families they came from and the life they lived outside was quite something. And that's one of the challenges for us as Christians, isn't it? It's the life we have as Christ, which we nurture week by week together in church. How do we live that out in our everyday being? Whether it's work, whether it's having a cup of coffee with friends, whether it's the social things we belong to. So there's that challenge. Are we prepared to accept it? And it's also thinking, with the future consultation going on within the area, how do you and I think about that? We can ignore it, or can really pray and say, what is it that God wants to do in Milton, in Wirral, to bring his kingdom in a real way to his area? That is quite amazing, isn't it? And that's something we have to ponder and pray about. And ask that God, through His Spirit, will show us. Some of Jesus' teaching was quite like. And people who responded to it, their lives were changed. And we need to really pray about how do we share God's good news with those in this amazing place of world. And it is a fantastic place to live. I get staggered by the number of people who moved in because housing was cheap when they were young, and they're still here. So it's going to be good, isn't it? But how do we share the gospel? And then Jesus goes on to say to the crowds, remember, people of Israel, Jewish people, when you see a cloud rising in the west, which we have the Mediterranean, you know it's going to rain. When it comes from the south, which is coming from the desert, it's going to be boiling hot. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know that sort of, I will look out now, and it's a bit dark out there, so there's a good chance it's going to rain. Might not. And if I want to hang out washing, I'm thinking I'm out for the day, I have a look at the sky. And most of us probably know that old saying, don't we? Red sky at night, shepherds do light, red sky in the morning, shepherds morning. And a number of times that's actually true. We can read those signs. But are we really aware of what's going around us? What's happening in our area? Are we aware where the world has moved, where our community has moved? It's so easy to grab onto one thing, isn't it, and not see the whole picture. And that's the challenge I think Jesus gives us here through Luke, is how do we interpret what we see and hear around us? Not only interpret, but act upon to bring God's good news to that situation. How do we pray for our politicians? I mean, I don't know about you, but the whole thing that's going on about Brexit at the moment is continuing to just get uptight about it. Because I'm not convinced, and haven't been convinced for a while, that it's to the best interest of our whole country. You might disagree with me, but that's what I need to pray through and see, and pray for what is right, and pray for our politicians. What about the situation with our young people? The number that are turned out of school because they don't fit in, haven't hit the right grades. How do we care for them? How do we reach out and nurture them? The lonely that are around the area. Those that turn to other things to get them through life, or think get through life, like betting, like drugs, like alcohol, like eating too much. How do we share the knowledge that Christ, that our sins are forgiven, that He loves us, and He's given us a purpose in life, and that purpose is to be with Him eventually in heaven, but in the meantime, to share the good news on earth. So quite a frightening passage, a very challenging passage, one which I think is relevant for each one of us now and in the days ahead as we contemplate the future, as we go into a vacancy, and as we look as to how the whole area works together. So it's the what is God saying to me, to you, to us. Let us ponder and reflect on it. But don't let us just sit there. Let us then act on it and do something about it. And talk and share with others. And see how we can make a difference in the area. And so may God bless each one of us as we say what, as we ponder, and that He will give us the strength.